Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title, History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We also have Moises Ballesteros making the jump. I would say that at this point, there are still questions about his defense, how much he's going to catch in the big leagues. But going to you first this time, Jeff, I feel like that we're about as comfortable about Moises Ballesteros' bat as there is pretty much for any hitter in the minor leagues at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the feedback that I had gotten, particularly internally, was bullish on Ballesteros' bat, you know, how young he was and still really productive over a pretty large sample size of 68 games last year. In AAA, you know, the catching, as we know, was going to need some work. He's been primarily a catcher. He's had like one game at first base and then gotten some games at DH. But, you know, there's no arguing with the hit tool.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Jeff Ponce from Baseball America, their great writer on prospects. And he joins us now on the Mully and Haw Show, the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Doing well.
I'm very interested to talk to you about Moises Ballesteros because he made a big jump on your prospect list, right? He moved up, what was it, 30 spots, something like that, from one list to the next. That's always indicative of a guy moving up, getting ready. And as you mentioned, that they don't know what position he will play. He's a catcher, technically. He's a DH. Someone said he's played 60 games at first base, but he's a hitter. He is a professional hitter.
Yeah, through and through. I think that's really what the carrying tool is here. Just to throw a comparison out there in terms of the type of hitter he is, I don't think he's all that different from the Padres' Luis Arraez, just in terms of the bat-to-ball skills, kind of that outlier barrel control, just the ability to make contact in a variety of different pitch shapes and pitch locations, which is what I think this really comes down to. The difference between the two is Ballesteros has significantly more power than Arraez has ever had. He's a much bigger guy, swings the bat faster, hits the ball at pretty good angles. So this is a guy that's going to hit for a lot of average, but also has 25 home run upside. And I think that's what you're really dreaming on with Ballesteros, regardless of whether he is a DH, a first baseman, a catcher, somebody who does all three. I will say that, you know, for this type of player, the catching is still good enough that it's still an option. And I think we've seen over the last few years that the type of development that happens with catchers, particularly at the major league level, we can point to guys like Austin Wells, and others throughout the game. There's been a lot of guys who have become better blockers and better framers, once they've gotten up to the big league level. They're working with big league coaches. They're working with big league pitchers. It's just more of a game plan, that sort of thing. I think the big question with Ballesteros has been his throwing this year. He just has not been able to get out of the crouch as quickly as he needs to. The pop times have been bad. And that's just a measurement of catcher to second base. So it's sort of that sort of stuff that I think is a question mark. But overall, there's no questions on the hitter here. This is one of the better hitters in the minor leagues at this moment.
He's not a big guy. He's listed at, I think, 5'7". So the question becomes, if he's not a catcher necessarily, and the Cubs have pretty good options at that position, could he play first base at the major league level?
Yeah, probably. He's played a game or two over there so far this year for Iowa. He's played some games there before. I think people are less adverse to shorter right-handed throwing players playing first base than they used to be. The hands are fine there. It's still sort of a matter of moving around. I still think his best defensive position is catcher. But that could change. I mean, you know, it's just a matter of him getting more work at first base, getting more comfortable there. But certainly, you know, he's a strong guy. He's a broad guy. But as you said, you know, he's shorter. He's 5'7". So there's not a ton of stretch there. He would be one of the smaller first basemen in Major League history. So that is kind of a question with Ballesteros at first base. I think it's one of the reasons he hasn't gotten a ton of time there. And ultimately, I think he's probably DH catcher and somehow fits into a catcher platoon a couple times a week.
Jeff, I'm curious, did Colson Montgomery move out of your list? Did he move down in your list? What is your take on him now going to Arizona for tutelage?
Sure. Yeah, so we moved Montgomery out of the list this year. We kind of stood steady with him throughout last season, despite struggling in Charlotte. He was young for the AAA level. That being said, Charlotte is one of the best places to hit in professional baseball. So that did give us some concern. You know, I talked to Colson a little bit at the Futures game during the All-Star break. We had a nice conversation, talked a little bit about some of the blisters and things that he was dealing with in his hands at that point in time. It changed to a different knob on the bat. So I kind of thought, hey, coming into the season, maybe there was some other stuff going on here that sort of was the root cause for him not producing the way that he kind of has all throughout his life. We come into this season, everything that was bad last year got worse. The swing and miss got worse. The swing decisions got worse. He wasn't hitting for the same level of power, and it really seemed to bottom out. So we moved him off the list for now. This was a guy that was a top 25 prospect. It's just the last year the bottom has really fallen out on his prospect status, and it's one of those things where he moves off the list, and certainly, you know, we'll be looking at the numbers. Hopefully he comes back strong and proves us wrong and gets back on the list. But for now, we just felt like, you know, he had a nice sample size, and we'd give him a good chunk of time to sort of get things right. He didn't. So, yeah, he did move off the list in this most recent update.
Jeff, thanks a ton. Really appreciate your time. Great stuff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks a lot, guys.
That is Jeff Ponce from Baseball America.